from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we will hand the show off to D'Lo and KC. And they will take you up until 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Talking some Kings offseason, looking around the NBA, and just looking ahead at just kind of the offseason in general. Can I bring Leezy in the YouTube chat? YouTube.com/ESPN1320 if you want to hang out. Leezy in the YouTube chat said, Kings had DiVincenzo and didn't want to pay him or play him. I want to talk about Dante specifically for just a quick second.
Mm-hmm.
You had the backstory. You know everything that was kind of going on behind the scenes there.
Yeah.
And why it may or may not have worked out. I promise I don't say this from a place of being a fan of the Warriors. I say this because this is how it went down. Dante DiVincenzo played that season with Golden State and then spent this entire offseason working out with Steph Curry.
Hmm.
And then goes in and turns in his best shooting season of his career by like a lot. And I think probably working with Steph and Steph's trainer for an entire offseason had something to do with that. And all of this is to say, I don't know if he develops on the same track if he's playing with the Kings the last 2 years.
Okay.
Particularly given how things went when he was in Sacramento.
Okay, so you have to remember when Dante got to Sacramento, he had come off a year of rehab, basically.
Yes.
Like, he had had a very distinct ankle injury, which is very different than most ankle injuries, mm-hmm. right? So he had, I think he had a high ankle sprain, but I actually think he detached the bone from, like, and the ligament or the tendon, and, like, there had to be a reattachment. So he had not been, like, playing all that much with the Bucks, and he wasn't that effective. Like when he got to Sacramento, the player that they got was not the player that they almost traded Bogdan Bogdanovic for like a year and a half earlier.
Mm, no doubt.
You got to remember, they had a deal worked out to trade Bogey for Dante DiVincenzo.
That was wild.
Yeah, that whole deal was absolutely
that was
wild.
A mess.
That was a hot mess, yeah. Like, look, that was mishandled on like multiple angles, and it was just a weird situation. Dante mm-hmm. DiVincenzo should have been re-signed in Sacramento on a 4-year mid-level exception,
mm-hmm.
like a 4-year 48. That's what his mm-hmm. market value should have been. Now he goes to the Warriors for $4 million because
crazy.
He was just trying to build his value with mm-hmm. a really good team and thought, hey, why not with the champs?
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also caution like the working out with Steph thing and his trainer. Okay, mm-hmm. you know who else did that this year? Davion Mitchell.
Mm. And he looked really good in the second half. I'm just saying.
He did. No. I
but
get
again,
that.
Not everybody develops the same way or has the same skill sets.
Yeah.
Here's all I'm saying. I don't know that Dante DiVincenzo, had he stayed with the Kings, is the exact same player now. I don't think you could pick him up on the Knicks and drop him onto the Kings right now and you're getting the exact same player. I think he would have been helpful for sure.
Yeah.
Like 100%. And he would still be a really, really good player. It's not to, I just don't think that he would have been exactly the same guy.
No, I agree with you.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But I think he would have been close to the same player, but the problem that I have, it was a mismanagement of assets.
Yes, definitely.
I didn't, and not only that, but instead of just retaining him for a 4-year 48 and putting him alongside De'Aaron Fox, which they wouldn't even do at the end of the season. They had 25 games to give that a run, and then Fox got injured and missed some games and stuff, but they could have put those two together and said, hey, what does this look like?
Yeah.
And I have this feeling, though, that it would have looked better than what De'Aaron Fox and Kevin Huerter look like. And that's the problem. It's not only did not retain Dante DiVincenzo, who was your own free agent, who you had bird rights to, who you could sign for whatever, but on top of that, you went out that offseason and you traded a future first-round pick for Kevin Huerter, who was on a 4-year 65. So not only did you take back way more money, but you gave up a first-round pick. So
that's a fair point.
Like in hindsight being 2020, I think that the Kings could be a transaction that you look at very, very negatively for the Kings.
That's fair.
But who knows?
Because even if, just to your point, even if he doesn't develop into the exact same player, like percentage-wise and efficiency-wise, he's still a fine shooter. Still a dog on defense.
Still a great rebounder.
Still hustles. Yeah, they could have used a player like Dante for sure.
No, they could have. And would he have been a nice guy to start alongside Fox and then still have Malik Monk? That summer you signed Malik Monk, you still could have done that.
Yeah.
Bring Malik Monk off the bench behind Dante DiVincenzo, have those three guys play together sometimes with Dante being able to play up and play small forwards at some point. Yeah, I think it's one of those moments that is kind of glossed over that was probably a mistake on everybody's, on both sides. Both sides made mistakes.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You and Lizzie are right. I'm wrong. That's fair. I'm man enough to admit that. Good work, guys. Luka Doncic, we only have a few minutes here. We'll continue this conversation, though. Howard Beck wrote a really interesting thing in The Ringer this morning. And it's about Luka Doncic specifically, but I think you can branch this out to several different players in multiple sports. But the gist of the article, and again, you can read this on The Ringer. I'm not going to read you the whole piece, but the gist of the piece is, how is Luka Doncic so freaking good? And he talks to anonymous coaches and GMs and then Stan Van Gundy. And everybody agrees that Luka, from a skill set perspective, is generational. By the time he's said and done, he's going to go down as one of the best just pure players to ever play the game. But that hasn't translated to success. The Mavs have won like 56% of their games since Luka got to their team. They are not nearly his on-off splits are among the lowest.
He's a +1 for his career.
Yes.
On-off split.
Which is, of all of the players...
That's wild.
With all of the players with a top 5 MVP finish in the last 20 years, his is the second lowest
career.
In front of, I think, only Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Is the only player he's better than in his career, where the on-off split is his the team's net rating difference when he's on court versus off court. Basically, the Mavs are the same team, whether he's on the court or off the court, which is insane given that he averages like 28, 8, and 8 for his career.
Mm-hmm.
And so Howard Beck in The Ringer is trying to explore why this is and how much better they've gotten over just kind of the course of the second half of this year. And they explore all these different... It's a fascinating piece. But I think it's kind of interesting because you and I dove into the other day. I said Luka was one of the three best players in the league. And you were like, eh. I got... Eh. And at first it's like, man, that's kind of a wild ass take, like, what? But then you dive into the fact that, yeah, the Mavs missed playoffs last year,
yeah,
and they were a 5 seed this year, and it really took Kyrie getting there for them to really kind of get over this hump. And I think it's a really interesting way that we talk about like greatness and how good a player is versus winning and their impact on winning. Because so far in Luka's career, he has not had much of an impact on winning, despite the fact that he's putting up these ridiculous stat lines. He's put up a stat line in every year of his career that LeBron has only put up 4 times in his career. And yet, it doesn't translate to winning.
Yeah, I think like So when they made the trade last year for Kyrie, mm-hmm. it's just like crazy moment, right? But people have to remember that the initial thing that happens there is that Luka's out for a couple of games and Kyrie gets to play with the team and without him. And I had talked to folks around the Dallas Mavericks and the instant take. So I had this idea when that was going to, I think so many people did, that when that trade went down that, oh man, Kyrie could totally blow that entire thing up and just make a mess of it because that's who Kyrie is.
Well, it's what he was in Brooklyn.
Well, from the outside looking in, it's always who Kyrie is. But from the, in NBA circles, like NBA players and his teammates, everyone loves Kyrie. Like the whole Flat Earth stuff and him making some, you know, putting out movies that he should not be promoting and all of these things that Kyrie does off the court that make people on the outside scratch their head. People on the inside, you know, they love playing with him. And the instant thought was that he could blow up that entire franchise because he's a negative influence. And then all of a sudden he had a negative when he got there. They fell apart, and it wasn't because he was causing problems. It was because everyone all of a sudden wanted to play with him and not with Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone figured out, like, oh, no, we have been in basketball purgatory for the last couple of years. We've been held hostage by this guy, mm-hmm. and we like playing with that guy instead. Now, here, fast forward a year, and I think what happened was, like, the influence of Kyrie on Luka has been tremendous and showing him a pathway where he can be that guy,
mm-hmm.
but not be that guy. He can be a guy who empowers his teammates and makes and people that want to play with him without, and, but still remaining a guy who can lead the league in scoring and average, you know, 33, 10 and 10 or whatever, you know, 33, 9 and 9 for a season.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a pathway to get better, and I think Kyrie has helped him along that way, which is really intriguing to me.
Yeah, we're just gonna blow through the break. We'll just go to 27 here because I want to continue talking about this. That's the thing that jumps out with Luka to me, and why I know that there's advanced stats now, and you know it's so much easier to watch games and consume games mm-hmm. where there are times you can't be bad at basketball and put up. Like these great stat lines, right? You're not putting up whatever he put up, 39 and 10 this year, whatever he was. It was ridiculous. And be bad. And that's not the point. It's not that Luka isn't an all-time great. But it's that those stat lines aren't all created equal. And you had Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double. You have to remember around that same time, you had James Harden. I don't think Harden ever averaged a triple-double, but he was always right there.
No, he did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was right there for a couple of seasons before he did.
And so we're accurate here. 33.9 points led the NBA. 9.8 assists, which is top 3. 9.2 rebounds per game this season for Luka. That is wild. But anyway, go ahead.
But not all those stat lines are built the same. And there's a difference between four defenders collapsed onto me, so I'm going to now kick it out to my teammate versus, hey, I'm setting up my teammates.
Yeah.
I'm playing a brand of basketball that allows my teammates to be involved. That's not what Luka does. Kyrie does it. I know Kyrie for his slick handling and the way he finishes around the rim is just, he's one of the best to ever lace him up. But he also involves his teammates. And Kyrie doesn't, or I'm sorry, and Luka doesn't do that all the time. And like you said, I think you can see the Kyrie influence because I think you see it more from him. But that's the thing that's so hard to distinguish without watching like game in and game out. But that's the best explanation to me. It's the reason that Steve Kerr brought this offense to Golden State, where it's like everybody's moving, everybody touches the ball all the time. Because that's how you stay engaged. Because Steve Kerr was a reserve his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
He played with Michael freaking Jordan. He knows the value of like, hey, get other people involved.
Yeah.
And they are alert and ready to go. They're ready to hit game-winning shots in the finals. And with Luka, like, I imagine you stand around and you get bored. Your job as a basketball player is, hey, go play, bust your ass on defense. And now, go stand in the corner and maybe the ball will come to you. There's no system that says, hey, when X happens, you're going to get the ball. It's, hey, if Luka determines that he can't physically get a shot on the rim and he's going to kick it out to you, that sucks. That'd be a terrible, terrible way to exist.
I totally agree. Like, there is no joy, or there the last couple of seasons, there was no joy in playing with Luka. For his teammates. And again, like, Jalen Brunson bolted, like, for good reason.
Yeah.
Like, because Jalen Brunson, number one, is a really good player. Mm-hmm. But the second that Luka goes down, he's incredible. The second Luka comes back, it's like, okay, I'm back to being one of 12, yep. one of, you know, six guys that get to play, or seven guys.
Just nondescript
to play.
Guys in Mavs jerseys.
Yeah. And for me, it's really difficult to build a team around a player like Luka.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the same thing with James Harden. And James Harden did not ever average triple-double, you're right. The, mm-hmm. the best he had was 8.5 rebounds a game.
Yeah, he got very close.
Yeah. But playing with guys like that, it's hard because, you know, there's something to, like, them not looking for you. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever played in a basketball league with, like, a really good player and, like, you get out on a break and you're waiting under the basket all by yourself, and they dribble, they take on two guys and throw mm-hmm. up an ill-advised three, even though you know they saw you twice
mm-hmm.
and could have hit you. There's nothing worse. You just don't, you're like, time out, I don't want to play anymore.
Dude,
like, just take me out of the game, it's fine.
If during the Kings season you went, hey, I got this, and you rambled about the Kings for 14 minutes, and right before break you went, hey, so what'd you think of Keon Ellis?
Yeah.
Like, like, it's the same. It's the same. You're not keeping people engaged. You're not keeping people involved.
Yeah.
And if you go from, hey, you're not shooting it, you're not touching the basketball, and now, oh, hey, shoot this one. Like, it's okay, guy.
Yeah. Okay. It's, well, what do you expect me to do? I'm
going
to shoot 34% because you don't give me consistent shots.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't care how you get me the ball. It's just yeah. the fact that you got it to me and there's no time on the shot clock.
Yeah.
Now, look, here's the other thing I would caution. Like, I think that there's a line in there in Howard Beck's piece.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. It seems like he performs more than he competes.
Dude.
And that to me is such a wild, but it's so accurate of how you felt, right?
It hit the specific nail in the middle of the head.
Yeah.
That is exactly the thing that I find off-putting about Luka's game, because he's brilliant. He is incredible. This is not a conversation about Luka being bad at basketball. Nobody thinks he's bad. But the thing that has always been a little like, oh God, there's something about him. It's that. It's a performance, which is fine. Like, this is all entertainment. But that's what I find off-putting about it. Like, that's such a perfect way to put it.
He's performing for, like, the front row. He's performing for the officials the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not performing for his teammates in the same way. Like, you never feel that connection. And this is the other thing that I would, like, very, very, like, I want to caution people. Like, we are not, like, throwing him under the bus. But LeBron James, it took him 9 years to win his first title. Michael mm-hmm. Jordan, it took him 8 seasons to win his mm-hmm. first title. Like, we're talking about a dude who's, like, the 2018. He's, what, 6 seasons in, 7 seasons in, mm-hmm. right? Like, he still has time to be the great player to get and learn and be this player that is generational. And I think even in the piece that from Howard, I think he threw in generational too often.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he called Kyrie Irving a generational talent, and like, there's a generational talent means that you're one of one in mm-hmm. a generation, you are the best player.
Mm-hmm.
I think Luka still has the opportunity to be the best player in this generation. Kyrie does not. Like, mm-hmm. he has not been the best player in this. He's the best ball handler in this generation.
Yeah, maybe the best finisher.
Yeah, like he is an incredible
yeah, yeah.
athlete. But I think, like, somehow this may work out where, like, a guy who is, you know, in many ways, like, bizarre and totally offbeat in Kyrie and really caused problems in his career for being so offbeat, but how he can help a player find his way to be great. And it's, so I'm not giving up on who Luka can be, because if you do that, you know, Luka is one of the few players in this league that could upset all this stuff that we talk about, whether
yes.
it's Denver or
yes.
it's OKC or it's, the Celtics or it's the T-Wolves, he's just so good by himself that he could lead a team past all of that, just like Michael Jordan was, just like LeBron James had been. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the teams that LeBron James had when he was with the Cavs with Mike Brown.
Oh.
Like, it's like his second best player, one team that they went to the finals was like...
Mo Williams?
Mo Williams. They went out, their big acquisition was like a really old Antoine Jameson. They had Zydrunas Ilgauskas at center.
Anderson Varejao.
Yeah, Booby Gibson and J.R. Smith. Like, he had some scrubs around him. And
hey, hang on. J.R. Smith is not a scrub. Do not throw my guy in that bucket.
Okay. I was there when he decided to not do anything in the final seconds of the game.
He forgot the score, okay? Doesn't make him a scrub.
Okay, not a scrub, but also not
an all-star.
Not an elite NBA player.
Yes, correct.
You know, on a team right now, where would you put J.R. Smith on OKC? Or where would you put him on Dallas? Or, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at the team that he led to the finals again, and you're just stunned with the lack of talent.
Yes.
And so that's what I think Luka has been for part of this, but I think these players, you have to also understand, sometimes they don't make players better until they're way deeper into their career. And because we got the instant gratification of Luka as an early player, like, holy cow, look how good he is right off the bat.
21-8-6 as a rookie.
And then what's his second year?
29, I'm going to round, 29-9-9.
Yeah, 29-9-9 as a sophomore. What you forgot, 20-year-old. What you forgot is that he's 20, and that while he's putting up these numbers that might not be conducive to winning right now, that he has to learn the game and how to be, you know, not only that, but forget that he played in Europe and he's coming over to, he has this same, like understanding, and he has to learn the game a different way. So there's so much room for growth with him. And I think that's a crazy thing. And hey, if he ever decides to take it serious and become like get in great shape and really take the game serious, like, okay.
So that's the scary part about Howard's piece.
Yeah.
Again, this is, we're talking about the piece that Howard Beck wrote on theringer.com. Go check it out. It's a really, really fascinating dive into Luka Doncic's actual impact beyond your traditional box score. But he is like learning that. And since Kyrie has arrived and over the second half of this season specifically, he's started being a more effective defender.
Mm-hmm.
He has started involving his teammates more. And he's seen his on-off plus minus skyrocket as a result. And it's like, man, he is starting to learn and he's starting to figure it out. And that's where he could get to the player that you mentioned, where he's in that conversation with as a player who could lead a non-finals team to the finals
repeatedly.
He could be in that conversation with Michael Jordan and with, although I guess Michael Jordan had really good teammates, but with LeBron James, where, hey, you know what? Forget roster construction. Forget how deep OKC is. Forget what kind of defense Minnesota can play. Forget what Nikola Jokic is doing. Luka Doncic and the Mavericks are just a nightmare to deal with. He could definitely get to that level. And if he continues on this path that Howard Beck kind of laid out in the second half of his piece, where he does continue figuring this out and Kyrie's more democratic style of game starts bleeding over into how Luka plays, that's where the Mavs could get really dangerous and they get out of that. Yeah, what's their ceiling right now? Because if Luka's just going to be the player he is, then yeah, maybe they'll be a 2 or 3 seed every now and then. Maybe they'll make a conference finals run every now and then, but
They can make it to the second round. They could even somehow get to the conference finals, but they're just not going to be good enough to get there.
Yeah.
You know, barring like him going for 50 or 60 every, and even that might not help them win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. We saw his, his plus minus, you know, off court plus minus jump all the way to like a 9.4 this season.
Yeah.
He's still at a 1 for his career after putting up that for this season. And it's like, holy cow. And that's where, again, the advanced statistics, the analytics people who side with Jokic as one of the greatest players of all time, they're not wrong. Jokic is like a career 13.6. He's the highest. Right. It's like him and then Garnett, right?
It's like that's how much better the Nuggets are with Jokic than without him.
Yes.
14 points.
Absolutely incredible. And that's for his career. For his career. Like 7 years, 8 years. We're like his whole career. They're that much better when he's on the court. And then you start looking at all the other advanced statistics, you know, whether it's PER or whether, you know, it's wins over replacement or win shares, mm-hmm. any of that stuff. He's so much better than every player in the league that it's jarring.
Yeah.
And again, the other guy that's way up there with him, Domantas Sabonis.
It is the quality of the stats, not the totality of them. Or something. I don't know. All right, we actually have to break this time for real. When we get back, we are going to reset some title contenders. We're going to take a look at the teams left in the postseason, and I think that things have changed quite a bit here as we enter the second round. I know they certainly have for me. I'm interested to see if they have for you as well, James, right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Clear.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Let's keep talking about that. Leezy in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you want to tap in there, appreciate everybody watching and listening on 1320 AM. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app. Maybe you're listening on ESPN1320.com. I don't know. However you're listening, we appreciate you.
Yes.
Leezy in the YouTube chat, though, asked, how does Luka average so many assists, but he's still considered a selfish player even though he's regularly dishing out 8, 9, 10 assists a game?
Yeah, it's
a great question.
It is a good question. You're looking at, like, his usage is incredibly high. Like, he leads the league in usage at 36%, mm-hmm. right? So, and again, it's the estimate of percent of a team plays used by a player while they were on the court. So while he's on the court, he has the ball basically 36% of the time. That's wild. Sabonis, 22% of the time.
Yeah, and I think usage rate is defined as possession that ends with a player taking a shot.
Okay, I'm going off usage percentage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the percent a team of team plays used by a player while they were on the floor. So, like, he has the ball in his hands all the time, like, as far as Luka. And Sabonis doesn't. So, again, you're looking at one guy who has the ball in his hands 36% of the time, and another has 22% of the time. One of them averaged, what was it, 8.3 assists per game, and the other one averaged 9.8 assists per game. Mm-hmm. So, for 14% more time having the ball,
mm-hmm.
he averaged like 1.5 more assists than Sabonis. Man. So
a lot more dribbling.
Yeah, a lot more dribbling.
Usage rate, according to NBA.com, the percentage of a player's team's possessions that a player ends while he's on the floor. So that's via field goal attempt, turnover, or trip to the line.
Okay. Yeah, I'm using basketball reference, so yeah. There's going to be a little difference.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Luka's usage is per NBA.com, but I'm going to guess it's extremely high.
Super high.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, Luka, good player, has not impacted winning yet, but the numbers say that he's starting to.
Yes.
I'm fascinated to see how he continues growing as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really interesting. Still just, did he turn 25 yet?
Yeah, he just turned 25.
Just turned 25. Man, that's nuts.
Yeah, I just...
It feels like he's been in the league for a decade.
February 28th. Man. So he's 25 in 70 days.
Good Lord.
Yeah. To me, really, he is remarkable, and where he's heading is really to a great spot. But at the same time, like, he's going to need help to get there. And I would caution people to... Like, if you're a basketball junkie and you want to see, like, the best basketball that we can possibly see, which is, I think, what everyone should hope for. You want your team to be great,
mm-hmm.
but then when your team isn't in it, you want to see the best basketball possible. Mm-hmm. And I think in the NBA world, there could come a point where Luka gets it. Mm-hmm. And once he gets it, like, he could win multiple titles because he's that good. And just like, he thinks the game in a way that I don't think anyone else does. And, you know, there's some things, like, written in that article, like, that Howard... Like, there's potential for him to just be bored.
Which is wild. Howard Beck writes that I think is a team executive or an opposing coach, thinks that Luka just gets bored sometimes and goes, yeah, hey, this isn't a good team we're playing against, so I'm going to try and get a triple-double in the first half.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, but I think everybody went through school with somebody you knew was the smartest kid in the room and barely passed high school.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't, like, they are so much smarter than ever, like, their mm-hmm. brain is working at a different rate.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, like, I get the struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Let's do good idea, bad idea. We've got the handoff coming up in about 10 minutes. I believe Kenny's going to be in today. I want to rank the championship contenders with Kenny. I want to loop him in on that conversation.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to mix this up a little bit. All right. Good idea or bad idea? Three headlines, and we tell you whether it is a good or bad idea. The NBA, number one, the NBA has fined Jamal Murray $100,000 instead of suspending him. No suspension, despite the fact that Jamal Murray threw multiple things onto the court from the bench in an NBA playoff game. Good idea or bad idea?
To throw things or to only...
Oh, no. We already determined last time. Bad idea. Bad idea to throw things. Is it a good idea or bad idea to not suspend him?
I think for viewership and what we just talked about, like the most highly competitive basketball possible, it's a good idea for the NBA to just take his money.
Yep.
And not suspend him.
Yep. Nobody's going to talk precedent here. because nobody's going to start going, oh, I don't get suspended for throwing stuff onto the court, because at some point the league's just going to suspend somebody for it.
Yeah.
This isn't about setting a precedent. This is about, hey, we want to see, I want to see if the Nuggets have an adjustment for the Timberwolves. I want to see if the Nuggets can dig themselves out of this 0-2 grave and get back into this series. With no Jamal Murray, they're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, that takes any excitement about game three, completely takes the wind out of the sails. And I know you mentioned yesterday, like, well, the Warriors didn't have Draymond Green in game three against the Kings, and they won that one. Well, sure. But that was, A, the Warriors were going home for game three, not going on the road. And B, Jamal Murray is way more important to what the Timberwolves are doing on a possession-by-possession basis than Draymond was for Golden State. I think the Nuggets would have no chance. I think the league knows they would have no chance. And if Denver was up 2-0, I think you see Jamal Murray getting suspended for a game.
I would agree. If the Nuggets were up, they would have likely suspended him.
Yeah.
But with them not being up, like, and man, that dude, there needs to be a stern talking to.
Oh, I'm sure, like, there was.
Like,
100K is nuts.
Yeah, like Joe Dumars was on the phone, but I might have even pulled in more people onto that phone call. Like, who else wants to be on this call?
Yeah.
Where we tell this guy, if you do that again, like, we're punting you.
Yeah.
We're talking huge suspension.
Nikola Jokic would have wanted to be on the call. Did you see what he said after the game? He's like, I control my emotions. He's got to control his. Like,
oh.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, especially if you're off the court and, like,
yeah.
And you start, like, throwing stuff out there.
Right. If you get a T because you're trying to get your T, you're just pissed on the court. We saw De'Aaron Fox do that a couple times this year, where he's just really frustrated with the official. So, you know what? He's just going to get a technical.
Yep.
That's fine. You know what? Fine. That's a good time to take one. But throwing stuff on the court, Doc? Come on.
Yeah, especially if you're not on it. It's almost like the hockey thing where the guy just starts throwing his gear off. And
yeah.
But it's different because the game stops.
Right, exactly.
The game was going on. He could have injured somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Good idea overall by the NBA, given the NBA's goals to not suspend him.
Totally agree.
Number two. Victor Wembanyama is number two in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. Is this a good idea to set a precedent that you can be a DPOY candidate on the 21st ranked defense in the league?
Yeah, because look at the stats. I mean, you, oh my
it's a
gosh.
Great idea. It's such a good idea. Wemby's so sick.
No, he is. I mean, like, and how much better he was in Gobert on almost every category.
Yeah.
Like, even defensive rating, like, on the court, off mm-hmm. the court stuff, he was barely behind yeah. Gobert. And the fact that he averaged, like, what, 3.6 mm-hmm. blocks per game
mm-hmm.
and, like, 2-point-something steals per game, like, just nut. Or 1.5 steals per game, whatever it was.
I think if Minnesota is the 5 seed, I think Wemby wins it. But I think Minnesota, they had the number one defensive rating in the league as a team. You have Rudy Gobert, 3-time DPOY, anchoring the middle of that defense. He was going to get it. But I love that Wemby got the votes and that people weren't scared because of San Antonio being bad. It's an individual award, and he was individually brilliant. Forget the raw counting data. How many times did you see a player drive, and there's Wemby, and they go, nope, and spun back out? So many. I would love to see altered baskets.
Yes.
Wemby's got to lead the league in those two. I love that he got all those votes. I'm fine with Rudy Gobert winning it. I understand. But I'm certain Wemby's going to get a few in his career.
Wemby's going to just, that's going to be the Wemby Award. He was a offensive win shares per Basketball Reference, a negative 0.7 on the season. Defensive win shares, 4.4.
Mm.
What?
4.4?
Defensive win shares.
Oh
yeah,
God.
Wemby, like he is going to win it for years. Like, this will be the last time Gobert, barring the 65-game rule or whatever it is, it's going to be. But this will be the last time that Wembanyama doesn't win that award for quite a while.
Man. I forgot to write down a third one, so this is why we have backup things. Bill Barnwell named Brandon Ayuk the 49ers' biggest loser of the NFL draft. Good idea or bad idea?
It's a horrible idea.
It's really bad.
Yeah, it's just dumb.
Look, Deebo Samuel is the real loser of the 49ers draft. Brandon Ayuk's going to get a bag. Brandon Ayuk's going to get paid this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
If the 49ers weren't expecting to pay him, they would have traded him during the draft. But they're going to give him a bag. He's going to be fine. And Barnwell sided well with Ricky Pearsall in the mix. He might not see his career high 1,342 yards. He might not see that number again. And it's like, dude, Deebo Samuel and Juwan Jennings are the one who are going to have their snaps eaten into.
Yeah.
If Ricky Pearsall's that good. It's not going to be Brandon Ayuk. And then Deebo Samuel is going to be the one who's gone next year. Deebo Samuel's the loser in this, not Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
Bad idea by Bill Barnwell.
Yeah,
I agree. I like very much. I think Bill is extremely smart, and I read everything he writes, but did not agree with him there. I think that was a bad idea by our guy. All right. Coming up next, we got the handoff. Kenny Caraway going to be in the building. We're going to take a look at every playoff team. We're going to rank them in order of their chances to win the NBA title. That's coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And it's not just James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, it's also Kenny Caraway, because it's time for the handoff.
What up, though?
D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. What's up, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's good? Wednesday. The wind is blowing entirely too hard, and I can't wait for this part to be over. Like the windy part of.
Oh, I thought you meant the handoff. I was like, you didn't have to come in, bro. You just let us know.
Ouch.
No. I always love the handoff, man. Don't do that. I always love the handoff. I hate the wind, though.
Yeah, not a big fan of wind, especially with my allergies.
I'm same way.
Allergies I'm the Denver Nuggets. Allergies to Timberwolves right now. It's crazy. It's wild. I'm excited that you're here because James and I have been putting off this bit because we wanted to include you in it. We have reordered, I think, between the two of us. I don't want to speak for James. I know I have. Mm-hmm. I have reordered my NBA hierarchy of teams I think that can win the title.
Mm.
And this is not like yes or no. This is just the likelihood that I think they're going to win. We'll start at the bottom. We'll go to the top.
Okay. Eight teams left, right?
Eight teams left.
Yes.
I'm putting the Cavaliers at the bottom of my list.
Why? Like, is it the Cavaliers or is it the matchup?
It's a little bit of both. It's the fact that Donovan Mitchell had to be Superman for seven games, and now he's got to do it again. And A, I don't think they can get past the Celtics, but B, I don't think he can do it for four rounds.
Okay. It's only splitting hairs. I only asked splitting hairs because I put the Pacers below the Cavs.
Okay.
I think if they played each other, the Cavs would beat them in a series. But
ooh, I don't.
Man, the Pacers, they don't play enough defense. They can be got.
Okay.
You always got a shot because they don't defend.
I get that, but I would just say like where we're at right now with eight teams remaining, I think the Cavs do have a tougher. Like I when I wrote this out, I did have the Pacers as like the last team.
Mm-hmm.
But their pathway to actually getting a win or two versus the Cavs at this point, I don't know that the Cavs are going to have a chance to pick up a win.
100%. And that's
the other part of it. Yeah.
That's why I asked, is it like a path or is it just the team?
If you're betting, if you had money to bet on these teams, are you putting more on the Cavs or Pacers?
Probably.
I'm putting more on the Pacers.
Yeah, probably more on the Pacers because, like you said, the Cavs aren't beating the Celtics.
Yeah.
There is a world where the Pacers beat the Knicks.
Right. I don't think it's likely.
We talked about this earlier, too. You know, the Cavs look like a team who played like 2 days earlier, and the Celtics looked like a team who was fresh and just had 5 days off.
Yeah.
It just really wasn't all that fair.
The Cavs, I was watching that game, and it felt like if they could have got it to like seven or six, maybe that would have fueled them to make a run, to make it more of a competitive game. But they couldn't get under like nine max. Like it was always, for like the whole third quarter, it floated between like nine and 13 as far as the deficit. And it gets to 13, then somebody hit a three. Nope, we still here at 10. And, you know, if we get a stop here and get it to eight, like we'll feel good. They can never get the stop and score. And then when Pritchard hit the three at the end of the third, it was.
That's where I told Kyle earlier. Like, to me, it felt like your best player did everything he could to will you to being remotely close in the third quarter. But then he misses a three. They get the ball back and, like, the 10th best player for the Celtics drills a three to just, like, just crush your soul.
It was lights out.
Yeah.
Brutal. Lights out.
Brutal. After that, I have the Mavericks next. I have the Mavericks and OKC next.
Oh. Okay.
That's where I landed. Who do you have next?
No, I do, too. Okay. Yeah, I think
Mavs and OKC?
Yeah.
Kenny's thinking
maybe
hard.
Maybe I'm being a little too literal here.
Okay.
But OKC got to be ahead of Denver today.
Do they?
Yeah, Denver's done.
I don't know they're done.
Today.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Today. OKC got to be ahead of Denver.
OKC
and is up on their series least, and Denver's down 0-2.
That's a good point. Even if I don't think that, even if you don't think they're done, they got, the Denver got a much higher hill to climb than OKC today.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
So I think maybe we have to, let's go to the top.
Okay.
Because I think
I
that's
the Celtics won.
Yeah, I think Celtics won.
That's fair.
Okay.
I'm with that.
I have Timberwolves too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Timberwolves too.
And if the Timberwolves handle the Nuggets the way they did in the first two games, if they win the series in four or five and just kind of smack them in the four wins, I might put them ahead of Boston.
Minnesota's looking crazy right now. They're looking crazy.
Really good.
They're looking crazy. Now here's where, you know, we differ a little bit or whatever. I put OKC at three.
OKC's
for real. They can win a championship this year.
I've got Denver at three because I think Denver still, if they get right, they can jump right back up to being the title contender. I don't know that OKC can jump up to be the title contender.
Mm.
That's where I think I differ.
Yeah, OKC might just be like dialed. Like maybe OKC is just locked in a way that I still have my pre-playoff bias where I'm like, yeah, eventually the experience is going to catch up.
Yeah.
That's going to become a problem for them. I think that might still be in my head.
They're
because
really good.
I think you're right. I think I'd have to knock the Nuggets down some because they are down 0-2 and they have not looked good at all. Mm. I'm having a hard time placing the Knicks though. Because logic tells me, like, dude, Jalen Brunson can't keep taking 29 shots a game and carrying them. And I don't know that they have enough offensively if they played an elite team like Boston or if they played Minnesota or Denver or even maybe OKC that they would be able to deal with the amount of height and length that they have
lineups. No Mitchell Robinson now either.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, he's done like 6 to 8 weeks. So he's done.
Yeah, stress fracture.
And I just, I think I want to see the Knicks make a run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to. They've not had a tough road so far.
Yeah, that's fair.
Philly was beat up and gave them a series.
Yeah,
but I also think that the Knicks are in the Final Four. So if that happens, if you put a team in the Final Four, anything can happen. Boston has proven time and time again, right?
Mm-hmm.
That anything can happen, that they could totally blow this thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of who they have been.
Yeah, I'd have them. I mean, I guess that's literally just my predictions for the second round is I'd have the Knicks in the top four. I got the Timberwolves, OKC, Boston, and New York is the top four. Odds.
And the only one I'm having trouble with now is whether I put OKC or the Knicks is more likely.
I put OKC ahead of the Knicks.
I think I do too.
Yeah.
I think I have OKC after the Knicks.
OKC can win the championship this year.
I think they can too.
That's crazy.
That's so wild to me.
I don't think they can.
I kind of think the one hang up I have with OKC is I think there's a real chance if they face Boston because anybody think Boston's getting upset?
No, but if Porzingis isn't right by the time they play the Knicks, that could be an interesting series.
No doubt. I think that's going to be a really, really fun series. But I think
get
Boston's
off the
going
fence
to the
finals. I'll say no. I don't think I'm not picking anybody to beat the Celtics right now.
Right, and that's where I could see the experience thing. Where Boston is like, we've been here, this is it, this is our year, and OKC is like, oh my God, we're in the finals.
Mm.
And Boston just demolishes them.
Kind of like the last time the Thunder were in the finals.
Yes, exactly like that. Yeah. Although if they called that foul on LeBron, that's how it goes.
I'd also look at, like again, when we talk about who Boston is, the fact that they are going to be able to do exactly what they're doing to Donovan Mitchell, to Jalen Brunson. That just like, I don't think the Knicks have that second person that can step in. And if there's one team that can slow Brunson, it's going to be the Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown. Just keep throwing different looks at him. And that's going to be really difficult because once you get past him, there's nothing there as far as a number two score. It's just a bunch of randos who have good games.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, man, Derek White is playing phenomenal.
He's really good. Yeah. Hey, our guy came home.
That's it.
Shout out to the Bald Gang. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC?
We got a little bit of everything, man. We're talking the playoffs. We're talking, man, this whole NBA media rights deal is starting to pick up. So, you know, we're media nerds. So, this is stuff we love. And, you know, some more Kings talk, too.
Can't wait.
We have a good time on this Wednesday, though.
It's coming up on D'Lo and KC right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.